ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's changed? The player wants to play for Australia. That's what's happened. Once we understood that he really wants to do that, then the next step is he must take the next step.
Socceroos manager Tony Popovich explaining why he's picked Christian Volpato for the World Cup. If you haven't been paying attention, the 22-year-old talent has been at the centre of a kind of tug-of-war between Australia and Italy for, well, his whole career. Now, Popovich was clear he wouldn't beg someone to accept the honour of playing for the Socceroos. Core supporters loved that message. Now, Volpato's the headline inclusion for Australia's World Cup campaign. We need to talk about the 22-year-old. We need to talk about the whole squad because this is the biggest event in global sport. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Daniel Garber's covered countless football World Cups. He's heading to this one too. Lucky duck, Garby. We're going to head straight to the headline. Christian Volpato. What we knew has been confirmed. How does Tony Popovich justify, do you think, the inclusion of a player who didn't seem desperate to play for Australia, maybe versus Italy?
The justification, first up, is straightforward. He makes the team better. There's no doubt about that, especially after the injury to Riley McGree, which is a devastating blow. Australia's number one playmaker. I think they looked at that and said, all right, there's a void here in the squad that no one else can replace. Volpato is the player who can. He can play in that exact same position. It's just a matter of whether he wanted to play for Australia, and in the end, he committed.
It's one thing saying, I'd like to play for Australia. The next part is actually going through with it, and he has done everything to go through with it.
But yes, the questions around why it's been allowed now are more than valid. You know, him taking a place of someone else who has toiled away in qualifiers and in this group and brought into the brotherhood, as they call it, for so long, is more than justified as a question, and it's controversial, no doubt. Of course, his refusal to play for Australia in the past. There was also a social media post several years ago where he mocked Australia after a result. So all of those things are worthy of being raised, along with the cultural issue. Will he buy in? Will he be there just to go to a World Cup, or does he care about this team and the national team shirt? Those are all questions worth posing. To answer it, if we're going to go straight there now, there is a lot of grey in this. It's not simply a black and white issue. Firstly, Christian Volpato has demonstrated a keenness to play for Australia. I know that firsthand.
But yeah, I have to thank a lot Australia. They gave me all the opportunities when I was young, and I can only speak good about that.
This goes back as far as 2 years ago. There has been correspondence where he's said, I am keen to play for Australia. But there have been a number of issues around this that have complicated the matter. He has had influences around him, be they family, be they mentors, be they people at his club, people in Italy, who have muddied the waters and made it difficult for him to make a decision or to opt for Australia ahead of Italy. That being said, he is still the player, and as young as he is, he's still only 22. This has gone on for 4 years, remember. It has been his decision, so he deserves the criticism for that. But I think you have to give leeway considering his age and all of those factors. The keenness has been there. There have been several meetings between Football Australia, coach before him and Graham Arnold, and our Tony Popovich that has led to this. They wouldn't have had these constant meetings if there was a flat-out rejection from Volpato. And now it's come to be that he's chosen to play for Australia and take up the World Cup opportunity. So I can see why they've opted to go for it, because he improves the squad straight away. But those question marks around it are certainly more than valid. And it's a fascinating story.
Well, I mean, the coach's comments previously about the honour of a Socceroos shirt.
When I say not selling the shirt, I think, you know, if you're getting called up for Australia through the junior levels, then you get called up by the Socceroos, you know, shouldn't that be enough that you're wanted? Should I promise a player at 20 or 21 that he has to play? You know, we've got young players in this squad now. Do I promise him that they're going to play? And if they don't, I have to fear that he will leave.
It played well with the political base, yeah. Garby. Like, how do you think that change of course will be seen by the fans, but more importantly, the players, where, like, Socceroos culture has been top tier?
I don't think he begged Volpato. I don't think there was any of that. I think it was a constant questioning of, do you want to play for Australia? And he arrived at the decision.
We didn't chase him up or you know, have you changed your mind? Can you come to the World Cup? You know, we've always appreciated him as a footballer. That hasn't changed. But I have to always respect the player's decision. And I've always done that.
there has to be an element of game playing, and I'm actually happy that Tony Popovich has chosen to do so, because if there wasn't any game playing, we wouldn't have Harry Suter in a Socceroos shirt. Sometimes you have to do those things. So yes, they had to go and meet with him. They had to go and show him from their side of the fence they were keen, but ultimately he had to commit. And I don't think Tony Popovich would have done any begging. And maybe there was some begging of Christian Volpato in the past that didn't really agree with him. Maybe we cheapened the Socceroos shirt a little bit to him in our desire for him to play for us in the past. I don't think it's quite been done in that way. But yes, in the wake of the Segečić situation, it's really interesting. And again, those questions are justified. And if Adrian Segečić had stayed the course with Australia, there's every chance he would have been called up considering the injury to Riley McGree. Ultimately, when you improve the team, which I think he will in a big way, a lot of those things, those issues and those fears will start to ease. And from a player point of view, that's what you said. Will the players have an issue with him? Potentially, if he doesn't buy in, but I don't think there'll be a worry there because Tony Popovich wouldn't stand for that. They step onto the training park and they see that he's going to make them a better team and give them a better chance of succeeding at this World Cup. I think they will be fine with everything around it.
Obviously, he's made a decision, and it's one that certainly from all the lads are really looking forward to meet him, getting him into camp, getting training, getting playing. And he's going to make us a better team. Simple as that.
Harry Suter, Chakati, Matt Ryan. We've heard the right things being said, at least, out of the Socceroos camp. And that's all we can do is take that on face value. He's a player who has pretty big experience in Italy. He's worked with Jose Mourinho. Tell us about what the player is actually going to bring us.
Yeah, well, he's a playmaker. And in the absence of McGree, he feels that void enormously, as I said before. He'll operate on the right-hand side. He can cut in on his left. He can beat a man. He can put in a deadly ball and he can score goals.
He goes Volpato! A blunder from David De Gea. But it's Christian Volpato who levels things up at Mappe Stadium.
So I think alongside Jordi Boss and Moutoura and Iran Kunda, when he comes off the bench, he provides a weapon for the Socceroos. The McGree injury was enormous. He was Australia's best midfielder, and I think it's more than justified considering how massive a stage a World Cup is and the weight that you have to get to it, to not leave any stone unturned. And they haven't done that in the Volpato situation. I think you're more likely to kick yourself by not exercising it than by doing this and having a couple of issues potentially in the background.
Anytime you have a World Cup squad, you have a bolter narrative, and Christian is that. And then you have the hard luck stories. If Volpato is the bolter or shock, who's the hard luck story?
Martin Boyle, most certainly, and Kai Rowles to a lesser extent as well. Really feel for both of them. They've been heart and soul players in this national team for a while. Boyle's story is really sad in the sense that he committed to Australia to go to World Cups. He's similar to Suter, Scottish, and with some Australian lineage. Gets injured before the 2022 World Cup, goes as the vibes man of the team, but doesn't play. Missed an Asian Cup as well, and now he's been cut.
I've always kept the door open for everyone, and when you do that, it can cost someone that's been through the journey a spot at the World Cup. And unfortunately for Martin, yeah, he was one of those players.
And Rowles was a really good contributor in Qatar. Everyone talked about Harry Suter's campaign, but he was alongside him in the heart of the defence the whole way through and did ever so well. True blue Australian who's been part of the setup for a while. But in Boyle's case, I don't think they could see him starting at all. And then you're looking at it as an impact player. He's 33, past his prime. The pace is going a bit. There are younger players who I think provide the chance to make a difference off the bench ahead of him. And so I can see why he's been excluded from the squad. And Kai Rowles as well. There are centre-backs that have just jumped ahead of him in the queue. He can't play wing-back. Unfortunately, he gets ousted. And that's just football, unfortunately. It can be cruel at times. He's already been to a World Cup. He's had that experience. So he's very fortunate in that sense. Joe Gauchy misses out. Patrick Beach just picked ahead of him. That's the way it goes. And Brandon Barilla was always up against it. So those are the four players who were cut for the final squad.
Tony Popovich spoke really beautifully about how this team is young, yes. This squad is young, yes, but they should believe.
I believe in these young boys. I think they should believe in themselves more. And I know that will come with time. But they should feel, assured and confident that they have a coach that believes in them, and that's why they're selected. And they know they are selected for this World Cup. They're not selected for future ones.
Aside from the youth side of it, I'm drawn to the guys who are going to a fourth World Cup. Tell us about some of the stories there.
Well, Matt Ryan and Matt Leckie joined Tim Cahill and Mark Milligan as history makers, the only Aussies to go to four World Cups. Matt Ryan, there was probably a question mark a year or so ago, not in his place in the squad. I think it was always likely he was going to be in the squad, but would he start? Paul Izzo was ahead of him, probably 6 months ago as a starting goalkeeper, but he's had a wonderful season with Levante.
The shot came in and it was saved, and another shot and another save. Matty Ryan called into action twice. He was equal to it on both occasions.
He's come from nowhere, captain of the team, and now we're going to the World Cup with him in really good form, and that's exciting. So a huge achievement for him to follow in the footsteps of someone like Mark Schwarzer and then go to 4 World Cups and actually surpass him in that achievement. Wow. Matt Leckie, he's honestly a 35-year-old bolter because he started the A-League finals. Prior to that, he hadn't started an A-League game in October, but he played in the first final against Auckland for Melbourne City, and the way in which he threw his body around, you would just went, okay, he's back in calculations because he's a force. He's versatile. He can play up front. He can play in the centre of midfield, out wide if you need him to.
I think the luxury of Matthew Leckie is that he can play anywhere. He has experience and maturity that you don't need a week or two of training in a position with him. You can basically show him a video and he would know what to do. That's the luxury of having someone with his quality.
And he's such a leader, of course. So he's such an underrated footballer, Matt Leckie, in the true discussion of Australian football greats. I think he needs to be elevated a little bit higher than people give him credit for. Amazing how he's come through. And didn't have a great game against Mexico in the first half, but I think his presence in the squad is going to be really valuable.
Played and lost to Mexico over the weekend. Still got Switzerland to come. We know the squad. Where's the pass mark, fail mark for this tournament?
Are the pass marks to get through the group? It has to be. It can't be any lower than that. I mean, Australia should have high expectations. I think our re-entry to the World Cup in 2006 showed that. But then look what was achieved in Qatar when we had a side that many people thought was going to be the weakest in the tournament. This side's got a very good defence, a very good defence. Chakati is sensational. Suta is back. And there's a kid called Harrington who's come through now, who Lucas Harrington, who is a Rolls-Royce defender. He's actually the real bolter story because he started ahead of Cam Burgess in the centre of defence. 18-year-old, plays in the MLS. They love him at Colorado. He could be a superstar of Australian football moving forward.
He's doing so well in the MLS. He's played every minute of every game. He keeps backing up. So he's already at his age. I don't want to jinx him now or us, but he's very robust. You know, to keep backing up every and there in every cup competitions, every 3 or 4 days.
So there's talent there in front of Matt Ryan. The defence can get us through games in this tournament and get us some points, and then hopefully we can find a win to go with maybe a draw or so and get through this group. But that's the pass. Anything less than getting through the group to the knockout stages would be a fail.
Can't wait for it. We are just almost days away. Garby, appreciate your time.
Thanks, mate.
Headlines. Paris Saint-Germain still celebrating its gripping Champions League final win over Arsenal. It's been quite a mix of celebration in France. We've had everything from open top bus parades in front of adoring fans to garden variety vandalism and nearly 800 people being arrested. Elsewhere in the beautiful game, Mary Fowler and Man City thumped Brighton 4-0 to win the Women's FA Cup. In the NRL, the long wait for a Dragons win is over. St. George Illawarra broke a 15-game losing run. 9 months and 2 coaches is what it took for the Red V to get a victory as they beat the Brisbane Broncos 30-26 in Brisbane. And if the Dragons are the headline, the Broncos might be the story because the reigning premiers are sitting 11th after 12 games of footy. Today they've revealed Pat Carrigan will miss 3 to 4 weeks with syndesmosis of his ankle, while Gamet Shibasaki has hurt his medial collateral ligament in his knee. 5 to 6 weeks out for him. This on top of superstar Reece Walsh being in a deep form slump and coach Michael Maguire being inexplicably under scrutiny a year after a premiership. In the AFL, Essendon and James Hurd, and that conversation is rolling on, and so too are the on-field losses for the Bombers. Interim coach Dean Solomon oversaw a 30-point defeat to the Eagles in the final game of the AFL round on Sunday. And in cycling, Jai Hindley loves Italy almost as much as Christian Volpato. The Aussie just claimed his third podium at the Giro d'Italia. He is only the second man from Australia to land top three finishes at 3 Grand Tours. All of them came at the Giro. And speaking of history, we should really talk about overall winner Jonas Vingegaard, who was in even rarer air, becoming the 8th man to win the Giro, Tour de France and Vuelta, the Grand Tour hat-trick. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Football 360 Serie A and La Liga for the extra audio used in this episode.